pals.
Greetings, pals.
Hey, pals.
Welcome to the podcast, Story of the Pal. It is our Oscar special 2024.
Three special guys, been special about the special.
Wonder if it'll be a special time.
So it's the morning of the Oscars. How is everybody feeling? Are we excited?
I'm just goddamn nervous, Frank, to tell you.
Did you prepare a speech?
Here I am. Oh, my God. Is that Andrew Garfield?
No.
No.
That's Tom Butler.
I'm sorry. That's me. But my hair is high and I'm looking smug.
And
so I can see how you,
I appreciate that we all put on our tuxedos this morning. This is nice.
Yes, it's nice.
I thought it was overkill.
Yeah.
But,
you know, you never know.
We look pretty dapper.
Yeah. We're filming this episode, aren't we, for like YouTube and content? Are we?
I've always been filming. I just never told you.
Okay.
That feels like something you should mention.
I don't know how to react to that.
That's not... Wait, is that a legal obligation?
You call someone and you're like, by the way, every interaction we've ever had I've filmed. That's okay, right?
Yeah.
Like, I just want to make sure.
It'll be in my memoir.
All right. So 2024 Oscars. We did this last year where we just talk about the Oscars, the nominations, who's going to win, and we predict and we make some bets. So it's going to be fun.
I think we did really well last time.
We didn't, but are we going to? We did not.
Did we not?
No, I listened to it again a few months back and we
got everything wrong.
We shit the bed on
a few. I thought we were like Everything Everywhere All at Once. It's going to win everything. I think that was our prediction.
No,
but
we
were kind of right.
We all thought Cate Blanchett was going to win Best Actress and she didn't.
Oh, yeah, wow.
We all thought either Austin Butler. We were basically like begrudgingly Austin Butler.
Begrudgingly
Austin Butler. And then I think there was rumbles of, I mean, it could go to Brendan Fraser. And then I was like, I don't know. I would like to see Colin win it. And then none of us said Jamie Lee Curtis for every.
Who did win Best Actor?
Brendan Fraser.
Right? Yeah, that's what I said.
Yeah.
Isn't that what I said last
Friend
year?
Friend of the pod.
I think so. Yeah, mate.
All righty. So should we just quickly run down? Let's start at Best Picture. Who's nominated this year?
No. One sec.
Okay, wow.
I want to go back to
the prelude. Here it comes.
You said, I haven't had my lewd yet. This is the prelude. You said that you wanted to do bets. Are we going to do bets?
Yeah, let's do some bets.
Okay, so we have to record what people say then, because then we have to work out who wins.
We are recording it.
Good point.
Are you an idiot?
No, I literally.
What are we doing?
It was like, well, we're going to have some form of evidence that we said the thing we said. And you're like, just like, yeah, this is a podcast.
Yeah, start recording on your phone, Tom.
Sorry, I apologize. But
apologize for snorting. You should. All right, we'll bet on Best Picture. $20 on the winner.
That's a terrible idea because we're all going to pick the same thing.
Yeah,
I think we should.
I think Best Actor.
I think we should bet on who gets the most right, just straight up, because we might all
above the line. Okay, whoever gets the most right gets $50 from each of you.
Okay,
I get $50 from each of you.
Okay,
50. Yeah. Okay.
All right. You're right, Marcus. 100.
Yeah. You know what? Yeah. Make it $5,000. Let's go.
That's steep, but.
We can discuss. It's crass to discuss money. Let's talk it off mic. But yeah,
you're right.
I mean, considering it's a fixed race,
yes,
it seems pretty steep.
So half a bag of coke. What am I kidding? $50. What's it going to get you? Pixie dust.
Kicked out of the club.
Yeah, you might just die. I don't know what you're having.
All right, Best Pictures.
We're starting at Best Pictures. All right, the nominees are American Fiction, mm-hmm. Anatomy of a Fall, Barbie, The Holdovers, Killers of the Flower Moon, Maestro, Oppenheimer, Past Lives, Poor Things, and The Zone of Interest.
Do they have music over that? I think they do.
I think they do. I think it's this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So what are we thinking? What are we talking about? What are we doing?
Oppenheimer's going to win. Very
Oppenheimer
obvious.
Is going to win. Killers of the Flower Moon was a great film.
Barbie should win.
Barbie will not win.
American Fiction is also in the conversation, I think.
Do we want to go through?
Well, this is like, because this is non-fiction versus fiction. Like, this is obviously a made-up story, which is good.
Are you?
And most movies that win.
When I look at this list, a lot of these movies fit the category of American fiction. Am I right? Barbie's in there.
International
Oppenheimer.
Yeah.
For fuck's sake.
Talk me through American Fiction.
Do we want to go very quickly through them alphabetically? Just for a second, because I know I've seen...
Why alphabetically? Just talk about it in order.
But then we can go Anatomy of a Fall.
Al Pacino. He's won an Oscar.
This is true.
B.
Bob
Barry
Dylan.
Gibb.
Has Barry Gibb got close that one year? American Fiction is, for my money, the only of those 10 nominees that isn't at least pretty good or very good. I think American
isn't.
I think it kind of blows. I think it's not a very good movie.
Who's the lead in it?
It's Jeffrey Wright.
Jeffrey Wright and Sterling K. Brown.
They're both Sterling K. Brown.
Who's Sterling K. Amos? Oh, that's the comedian.
Stephen K. Amos, you're thinking of. Sterling K. Brown, who's very well known for This Is Us, and Jeffrey Wright, obviously he's been a lot of things, but probably Westworld is what a lot of people know him from.
Mm.
He's pretty good in it. Sterling K. Brown is like a footnote in it. He's barely in it.
Quick synopsis.
It's a movie about a black writer, author, who can't get any of his books acknowledged, or even though he's very well respected, he doesn't get any sales or attention for his novels. Sorry. And so he decides to write a book that is in the vein of very typical pandering African-American fiction.
Doesn't this come from the story of the actual screenwriter and some producer said, you've got this character who's black, they need to be blacker.
I believe so.
But it is
also based on a book that was written in the early
2000s. Oh, no, sorry, it is too, yes. But the director had this experience.
I think a lot of black creatives have had this experience.
Yeah.
I haven't. I think it's a very interesting – that's shocking. I think that it's a very interesting – concept. I think that it is incredibly dated, and it's very telling that the book was written 20 years ago, because a lot of the targets and a lot of the ways that it's deployed feels incredibly dated for me. Obviously, who gives a fuck what I think about this movie, obviously, but still, I don't think it's I don't think it's a particularly successful film.
Do you think
it reminds me of the episode of Family Guy, Marcus, which I know
that's never a good
some people
sign.
I know.
This is wild, because I did say quick synopsis.
No a chance.
we're still in the first film.
It reminds me of the episode of Family Guy where Brian talks
Maestro?
About how easy it is to become a successful right-wing grifter. And he's like, it's so easy, I'll shit out a right-wing book and like sell it. And then he does and he gets successful and he starts being like, oh, wow. It's like, it's a plot that's been done before in a lot of different movies and TV shows, like the idea of like, but that would be so easy. Look, even I could do it. And then it succeeds and the person is caught in the moral conundrum of, oh, well, do I own the thing that I did that I think is shit?
Yeah.
Or do I go...
Am I a hypocrite or not?
Am I a hypocrite, right? Yeah. There's that to it. But yeah, it's a pretty bad movie, I think.
Okay, interesting.
That's really surprising because it's nominated for Best Film.
Yes,
yeah.
And so a couple of other things.
Could it be bad?
And so we've got Anatomy of a Fall, we've got Barbie Holdovers. There's some big names in there. Maestro was one I watched.
Ugh.
Sorry, I'll rephrase. Tried to watch the other day.
You didn't get through it?
Are we bad people? Because it's obviously...
man.
Bradley Cooper, he's trying way too
hard. Is it because
of
that?
He's very desperate for it.
There's something about Bradley's performance in this that I think I like...
I just think he's trying a little bit too hard.
A little bit.
If someone doesn't thing in you, then nothing things in you. Nothing things in you, then you can't make music.
Yeah.
Someone told me that.
If Maestro doesn't sing in you, you can't like film.
The nasally is fine.
Bradley Cooper to me is so more interesting to watch when he's just being a dick. Like
when
I
he's
like,
playing Sack from Wedding Crashers.
Yeah. Like,
the greatest thing
I like
he's ever done.
Bradley Cooper as Bradley Cooper almost, which I'd hate. I don't want to say that about most actors, but like when
you
he
wish
starts
he was more-
doing the like, but I'm a trained actor and I'm a thespian and I was that guy in the actors thing that asked De Niro that one question. Like
he was that guy.
Yeah, like,
do you wish he was more of a George?
Was James Lipton? Is that what we're saying?
Ah, you are wonderful. I love your story.
That's a pretty good James Lipton.
Thank you.
Like Bradley Cooper.
Yeah, but sorry, I'm trying to say, do you wish he was more of like a George Clooney that just played charismatic leads?
I kind of do.
But George Clooney then fell into the same thing of being like, now I'll be a serious director. We'll make movies about big.
Do you know what?
Yeah,
but didn't do this voice about it.
It's true, he didn't.
Clooney works though when he's when he does like a. We've talked about this as well.
The Coen Brothers type when he's the silly.
And maybe that's what Brad's missing.
Well, he was good in Silver Linings Playbook, which I'm not saying is a Coen Brothers
very
role.
Very silly role,
but it kind of is, right? Like the weird thing is that's a movie that even though it's a sad drama, he's playing it almost like a slapstick character who happens to also be mentally ill. Like he is really hyperactive in that film. He's like a bit of a Woody Woodpecker.
I want to see him do interesting characters and I want to see some depth to him, but I think what he's trying to do is be the actors that he's grown up looking up to.
Yeah.
He's trying to be a De Niro. He's trying to really be like, I need to be taken seriously and it's not landing for me.
He would have fitted in, to throw back to our last episode, he would have fitted in on the set of Saltburn where they're all just taking it really seriously and doing all these theatre game exercises and thinking that what you do is the most important thing in the world, which Sorry, Brad.
I haven't clarified this.
This podcast is the most important thing in the world.
Yeah. I haven't clarified this point yet because I wanted to hear what you guys had to say. I really like Maestro.
Yeah,
I think
you're an idiot. I think that's
really
fine.
It was really good. There was nothing happening. I was so bored. I was like, I don't care. And Carey Mugglin.
That mudblood.
Carey Mulligan came on screen. And although I find her very interesting and very talented, and her performance in that was actually really good.
She's fantastic.
Very good. It wasn't enough. I was like, man, even a good performance can't drag me through this now.
Yeah.
And so I turned it off. And I don't often turn films off. Very rarely, in fact.
Well, should we just quickly go back to Star is Born, which is a film that's been done, you know, 3-4 times.
Which I've never properly seen.
I think that's pretty exceptional. And I think Bradley Cooper is better than he is in Maestro. He's very good. I think Lady Gaga is actually easily the best in that film.
His performance is not the thing in that movie, people. It's not the top three things in that movie. People go Lady Gaga, Shallow, and the directing.
But that's the thing.
And then they go, oh, yeah, Bradley Cooper's very good in it, right?
He directed it very well. Directed and starred in it, which is impressive. He sang, which is cool. But, like, in Maestro, it's like he's gone, oh, I did pretty well in Star Is Born when I took it seriously, so I'm going to work for 6 years, learn how to conduct. And is it Sean Hayes? Who is it? Someone says
John Mulaney, I think, wasn't it? Who said who wouldn't have been able to tell the difference? Maybe it wasn't John Mulaney, but
it was
like,
John Mulaney. And he's like,
you could have just gone like this, and we would have gone fine. Who would have known the difference?
Who would have known
right?
That was, yeah, right.
I agree.
Who cares? It's no offense to conductors, but who gives a fuck?
Yeah, it's not running the gauntlet in a jet like Tom Cruise. You know what I mean? Like, it's waving your arms.
You can tell a real stunt. You can't tell real conducting.
Did you watch the whole movie?
No, I fell asleep. Okay. It finished.
The scene where...
So my Netflix thinks I watched the whole movie.
So that's all that counts.
But I did.
Are you still watching? Absolutely not. Did you see
the scene of him doing the big conducting piece, where whether it's at Carnegie Hall, wherever he's doing it,
I've seen Weird Al Yankovic do that, and I think that was phenomenal.
Look, and he got his Oscar, right? Okay, he's doing fine. But the big scene where he does the massive conducting, like probably the 2-3 mark of the movie... I went.
Yeah, 3 hours in.
He's really throwing himself behind this, and I admire it, but I don't know if it's working.
I believe in Bradley Cooper really putting effort in.
Yeah,
that's never been the problem.
Mm. And he's putting the effort. You could see the sweat. He's really throwing.
He's running as fast as he can.
But that's not enough.
But he's pretty slow still.
I agree on that level that scene, I know there's people who find that transcendent, what he's doing. Sorry. It was a great analogy. What he's doing in that scene, some people think is transcendent. It's exceptional. And I'm like, he's doing a lot and it's interesting. But then earlier, Carey Mulligan has said to him when they basically are having a conversation where they split up, she says to him, there's hate in your heart. That's the problem. There's too much hate in your heart. And it's like a really horrible thing for him to hear. Like, is this artist who thinks of himself as very vulnerable and sensitive and sentimental. And she comes and watches that performance. And it finishes. And I'm like, that was a pretty impressive thing. And he runs up and hugs her. And he's crying. And he says, darling, why did you come? And she holds him and says, there's no hate in your heart. And I broke down into tears. I like started weeping.
You are human
that
butter,
scene,
man.
Absolutely,
like,
I am. If it works, that scene works. That's such a beautiful moment. I quite enjoyed my. I think Maestro has problems. I think it's a really quite.
It's
good
not
movie.
A contender. It's not a.
I couldn't be more excited to see what he does next. And if he throws himself full body and soul into it, excellent.
Yeah,
I want
like
a guy doing that.
Playing Tom Brady, playing a quarterback, playing something in his lane, man.
I mean, I want to agree with you, but
tell me I'm wrong.
That's a bad
tell me I'm wrong.
I don't know if I. That would be funny.
The next
that would be a
Oscar
funny
bait
swing.
Movie, the Tom Brady story.
It's what a story. He's from a good family.
From riches to riches.
And where's it ended up? I can't remember. Like, what's he doing now? Just out of curiosity.
Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hosting Whose Line Is It Anyway?
I think he's Donald Trump's VP candidate at the moment, essentially.
For
like,
real?
He's an insane, like, MAGA right-wing guy. Like, he's fucking
so
crazy.
I can't wait to see the movie.
We digress.
I mean.
So, Maestro.
Maestro is not
going to
win.
Hitters.
Maestro is not going to win.
The film itself isn't great. I think the performances in it are good. They would be more of a contender in the leading actor or actress section. Maestro is just drowning in this section.
Bradley's not going to win.
It's not going to win probably anything. It might win makeup. The makeup for...
Possibly.
And you're thinking,
I laugh at that
nose. But it will win makeup like Barbie will win costuming. Do you know what I mean? Or
because it's good production costuming. Design. Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Because it's of quality and they reward merit.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, yes.
Are you being, what are you being right?
Well,
I wasn't sure what Marcus meant.
No, for real.
Oh, okay.
No, it wasn't a bit. Like, I genuinely mean that. Okay. I think that Barbie will only walk away with design
probably.
Awards.
That's probably true.
As well as makeup for Maestro, probably.
Also, can whereas,
I think that's
sorry,
likely.
Sorry. Isn't it, I've just scrolled up to the best original song. There are two for Barbie.
We're two movies into Best Picture, but fuck it, let's go to original songs, see what we can find
we'll
out.
Come we back. Know what's going to win.
Yeah, Maestro, we just clarified that. It took an hour, but it's fine. The two songs from Barbie that are nominated are I'm Just Ken and What Was I Made For?
Yeah.
As if Dua Lipa's Dance the Night is not nominated. I'm mad about it and I won't be watching the Oscars.
I don't remember another song other than I'm Just Ken, and that's probably what's wrong with me.
You're
it's
not.
It's nice
enough.
Of you to admit it,
but it was a great song.
I think that the Billie Eilish song is wonderful, and I'm definitely on the other side of the argument that seems to have a like directly like 50-50 polarity of people who are like, Dance the Night Away is incredible, and Billie Eilish's song is boring as fuck, and people who are like, Billie Eilish's song is heartbreaking and beautiful, and Dua Lipa's song is fine. I'm basically in that. I think Dua Lipa's song is fine.
Wait, where like, do you sit? I'm confused.
Dua Lipa's song's fine. I think it's okay.
To be honest,
like
I
Dua
wasn't
Lipa.
Listening.
No shit. So let's weren't talking, so I assumed you weren't listening.
Best Picture.
Who said that? So let's go down. Barbie, Best Picture.
No.
Absolutely
oh.
not.
Oh. No. It's probably like
it's not going to win
fourth
but it won't.
Or something.
I'd say third.
And there's maybe already a third. Lot of third. Controversy around this not receiving more accolades than it should have. Mm-hmm. I don't think Greta even got a Best Director nod, did she?
She did not. And
she, no.
And no Best Actress for Margot Robbie.
Which, but America Ferrera did.
Yeah, look, which we were all like chomping the bit for. I like America Ferrera in that movie. What the fuck is that nomination? That's the wildest choice of almost any nomination above the line, I'm like, really? Like,
actually, that's the one. That's probably a good point.
That's
it is
the one
a bit
you're
like,
going for? Yeah.
I'm on the end where I don't think that Margot should have got one for Barbie in a weird way.
Is and it like,
it's not to say she did a terrible job.
Career.
She was, well, yeah, it's kind of a.
She's done a lot. She's done a lot of
backstep
pretty incredible
is a very
things.
Harsh word because it's not what I mean. But do you know what? Like when she's done such, yeah, like
she's done better
accomplished work
yeah.
and she comes back to a role that's. It's set in concrete and she did the job and she – hold on. But she played the role so well, but the role is not designed to be an Oscar sort of nod. It's just not. It's Barbie, for Christ's sake. Like,
yeah. I see your point. I think there is a lot of merit in what she did and how she did it. I think she's – I mean, I wouldn't have been mad if she was nominated. I'd be like, yeah. Good, of course.
I'm not shitting on her work. I just want to be very clear on this.
No, of course.
I think she did an excellent job in that film for a film that I didn't necessarily love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think looking at that film that anyone should have really been, again, in the pool that we're looking at, there's no Oscar nominations.
You wouldn't have nominated Ryan Gosling?
Well,
I would have.
But if you nominate Ryan Gosling, you kind of have to nominate Margot. I think in terms of your logic.
My weird thing is I definitely fall, again, like I don't know where I fall on the spectrum here, but I know that there's an extremity of people who go like, the fact that she wasn't nominated is insane and sexist and terrible. And some of these people I think have a good point and some of them are people who obviously maybe don't really care about the Oscars and this was just a big deal for a few weeks because Barbie's a big movie. And then there's the other swing of people who are like, Barbie's a stupid movie and it sucks that it was nominated at all and it's bad. And it's like,
well,
I'm definitely at the point of, I think Margot's very good in that film. Personally, wouldn't have cracked my top five. I wouldn't have nominated her.
That's the thing.
Yes.
It's only five
it's
people
only
who
five.
Are nominated.
And
so she might have been the sixth best acting performance.
100%. Yeah, she could have been sixth. And the idea that like there is a cabal of people, when people talk about the Oscars being limited in its scope of people of color and different sexualities and, you know, especially women in directing and stuff like that, that's been true and has been true for a very long time and it's something that they still always need to be working on. But when we're talking about a category of women, like it's five women, so there's no like, this is an unfeminist category. It's the, I mean, arguably, you know, they're all women
who
are nominated in this category.
Who did a great job.
One of them is the first Native American person ever to be nominated for an Oscar.
Yeah.
And I did find, and I've had conversations with people who disagree with me on this, and I obviously don't want to demean the notion that Margot not getting nominated has some potential implicit problems to it. But I do find it a little like, hey guys, That's a big deal, and I think a lot of Native American people, women and men, Native Americans, would be wanting to celebrate that. And that got drowned out completely by Margot didn't get an Oscar. And I'm like, that feels a little strange.
It's because she's Barbie and Barbie. And Barbie was the biggest thing ever.
It was the biggest fucking movie
of
the year.
It makes a lot of noise.
Because I would, okay, we're jumping ahead here again. We've jumped.
We're going to jump around.
We are going to jump around. But I think that, wow.
Stop jumping on that child, Frank.
No, how does the song go? Jump
pack
around.
It up, pack it in. Let me begin. I got to win.
Okay. I think that Lily from Killers of the Flower Moon is absolutely going to win it.
Yes.
Right? And I think deservedly so.
I agree.
So regardless of our discussion on whether Margot should have been in there or not, I think it's just best almost that the focus be there because it's almost hers. It's in the bag. There's some. She's in a deep pool too. I mean, you've got Kerry from Maestro, who
I would say is the runner up.
I disagree.
I think from you just the said scene she made you cry.
I think she's very good. I don't think she's the runner up to win based on the way the Academy is voting.
I would say Anatomy of a Fall.
Sandra Hula.
I reckon she's probably the next choice.
I don't think so.
Interesting.
I think it's Emma Stone. That performance.
Do you know what? I didn't see her name.
That performance
at the bottom of the list
is probably the only thing I actually am like, that could knock Lily Gladstone.
Holy shit.
Love that performance.
Now,
I think Lily's going to win. She won for La La Land, but everyone goes like, oh.
No. Didn't she just win something for Poor Things?
She won the Golden Globe.
Golden Globe.
The BAFTAs just happened.
I can't remember if she won the BAFTA or
not. I know that Gosling was really celebrating her for a win in something big recently.
But she won the Oscar for La La Land 8 years ago, and it's one of those things where once someone wins an Oscar, people tend to go, they just won. And it takes 20 years before they go like, all right, now they can have another one. Like it's very rare for them to do that double up with Tom Hanks that happened with Philadelphia and Forrest Gump.
Incredible.
Or even just the one where it's like they win very close together. Like Daniel Day-Lewis even winning for There Will Be Blood and then Lincoln 5 years together. A lot of people were like, oh, he's not going to win again. He just won so soon, right? You know, so
but he only does one film every 5 years.
That's it, you know. And it's fantastic that he's finally going to do the story of Hey Pal. I really appreciate that he's going to play
soccer.
The Pal.
That was an interesting silence.
I
was confused as to where. How do you even get there? And why are we talking about
swimming in that silence? I liked
it a lot too.
Sorry to talk about. Go back to Lily Gladstone being the first Native American woman.
Well, I've got a point on this. I'd love to talk about this. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well, continue because mine's about America Ferrera.
Okay. Well, for the same reason, I guess, is you don't know what the politics are behind the scenes. We've all got our theories. You wonder if, like, okay, this is the first time that a Native American girl has been nominated. It's hers for that reason, and I hope that's not it because she actually was phenomenal.
The dumbest thing is my thing would be I would give it to Lily Gladstone. I would be very happy to see her win. You know, we went and saw that together.
Being that you have seen both films and I'm yet to see Poor Things, I'm desperate to.
It's very good.
Yeah, yeah.
Lily Gladstone.
You would still give it to Lily?
She's a triumph in that movie. Isn't she incredible?
Tom and I went and saw that together.
We did.
I heard you guys went to the movies.
And you were invited, but you declined.
The only movie Marcus and I ever, just the two of us, have gone to see at cinemas before. It was crazy. We were sitting down and we were like, we've never done this. We're in our 30s.
Wow. We're related.
So interesting.
It was weird. Anyway, I think that the thing you're saying about Lily Gladstone and whether there's like political things and things of representation that either play for or against someone's nominee, the thing that I find more frustrating is a legacy Oscar for a person just based on who they are, right, as a star.
And Leo for The Revenant.
That's one, but I think
Brendan Fraser,
Jamie Lee Curtis for Everything Everywhere. Okay. What a fucking stupid Oscar. I think she's good in that movie. What a fucking stupid award. Like, I was really quite upset that she won that.
It's pretty ridiculous.
It was dumb. It was a dumb award.
Remind me who she was up against, if you
can. Stephanie Hsu, who's also in the movie. Sure. Angela Bassett, who everyone assumed was going to win for Wakanda Forever. Hong Chow for The Whale. And I can't remember the fifth one, unfortunately.
Kerry Condon for The Banshees.
Kerry Condon, which is very, very good performance.
Yeah, she's
but
great.
Yes, legacy Oscars are annoying. Legacy Oscars are annoying. Do we want to talk about, can you do me a favor, Frank, and just tell me, out of the Best Picture nominees, do you just want to very quickly, there's movies like Killers of the Flower Moon.
Yep.
which is going to come up in actress and supporting actor for Robert De Niro. Mm-hmm. All those other movies are coming up in screenplay anyway. So we'll kind of discuss them all at some point. Weirdly, Killers of the Flower Moon is not nominated for Best Adapted Screenplay. All the other Best Pictures are nominated for Best Screenplay.
Interesting.
It's the only one that's not. Hmm. May December took the slot instead, I believe. Wait, actually, is that true? I might be making that up.
May December's not in...
No, it's in original.
It's in original, yeah.
So what's the one I'm
Adapted thinking? Is American Fiction, Barbie, Oppenheimer, Poor Things, and The Zone
yes,
of Interest.
Yes, and Killers of the Flower Moon didn't get in there.
Yeah.
That's kind of crazy. That's kind of crazy.
Look, I'm not trying to shelve everyone here, but I think at the end of the day, we're looking at between Oppenheimer and Killers of the Flower Moon for Best Picture, right?
Yes, and it's
and I think
Oppenheimer.
Oppenheimer being the favorite, I think it's the obvious choice, although Killers was excellent. Oppenheimer just... It kind of ticks all the boxes, right?
I prefer Killers of the Flower Moon, definitely.
Do you think it's a better film or do you just you prefer it? Because obviously that's a feeling.
This is a conversation we've had a lot, right? The idea of like what you say subjectively.
If you're into it, you're into
it. If you're into it, you're into it. If you think it has a legacy, if you think it has some like grand standing.
What is a legacy? Legacy.
Like
Hamilton.
If it's got some...
Have you heard of it?
If it's got some meaning beyond like this realm of the year that's passed and where we are now and it's going to stand tall, I think Oppenheimer will and I think Killers of the Flower Moon both will. They're by two titans of cinema. Christopher Nolan, who's just sort of hitting his like midlife run. You know, dude's in his late 40s, early 50s.
It gets better with him. Have you heard what he wants to do next?
Something trippy, I'm sure.
He wants to do a horror.
Oh, I hadn't heard that. Okay.
And a Nolan horror I think would be excellent.
There'd be something to that. He's certainly got a good command of tone.
It'd be twisty-turny for sure.
In IMAX?
Sure.
You'd be like, oh my God, backwards horror, she goes into the shadows. Oh, I hate it already.
I can see her now, I can't.
Such a horror guru over here.
I eep my pants.
Backwards.
Tom, I'm with you. I honestly think Killers should win it. That would be my choice over Oppenheimer.
I think, Tom, that's a really good point. Sorry, Marcus. Mm. I have not seen Killers.
Mm. Oppenheimer's impressive. It's an impressively made film.
I feel like I need to watch it again. It's pretty impressive. And again, it almost feels like a legacy nod to Nolan. But also, this is a pretty massive year.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
I
like,
so.
I feel like last year felt like, yeah, there's a couple. This year there's like four or five that you think, wow, they're pretty groundbreaking, they will stand the test of time sort of films, which doesn't happen every year, I don't think.
No, I always try to take recency bias into account because I don't like doing the like, oh, well, now this one that's happening while I'm paying attention, this is the good one.
Yeah.
And a lot of people have been saying that online, like, is this the best picture year ever? I don't think it's the best one ever. It is very strong. Like I said, like looking at that lineup, I'm like, man, I have seen all of these and truly, truly, it's an incredible spread of movies.
And it's quite broad as well.
Yes. There's a lot of diversity along there. You've got Zone of Interest, which is almost like an art house sort of Holocaust film. You've got The Holdovers, which is like a throwback 70s kind of...
Paul Giamatti vehicle.
Alexander Payne using like this opportunity to get really sentimental, but also kind of like, you know, making a Christmas movie that's still got its rough edges to it that almost certainly is going to win Davine Joy Randolph an Oscar, by the way.
We'll Bad Santa, but go on.
Yeah, that's true. I forgot about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, similar, you know.
We had Frank had different upbringings. We had the Bad Santa.
I had Jesus. Is that what you're talking about?
The Bad Santa. He was the real
baddie. Oh, bad boy.
I'm Bad Santa. Bad Santa is ready.
We just said Bad Santa a lot of times.
Bad Santa. We've got Anatomy of a Fall, which is, yes, a French film about a woman accused of murdering her husband. You know, we've got so many really fascinating films and a good spread in there.
Yeah.
And I think that it allows for us to see the crop of the diversity that's happening because they're opening up the Academy to a much larger range of people. Age range, but also demographics culturally and ethnically and whatnot.
Do you think, actually, we should talk about past lives?
That's a good point, actually. Yeah, we probably would have. Whoops. Yeah, that's a good one. Well, Celine Song's directorial debut, obviously.
Celine Dion's song.
Celine Dion's song, you know. How does that one go?
I've never heard it.
That one.
I'm not going to sing it.
She's pretty underground. You probably wouldn't have heard it. Celine Song has Past Lives that came out, obviously, with Greta Lee and Tiu and John McGarrah,
yeah.
Which basically it's like a three-hander. It's a beautiful film.
You know, have you seen it?
Yes, I have. I've seen all this shit. Stop fucking asking that question.
Oh, you saw every Oscar film?
I saw all of them.
Well, I haven't had time.
No.
But I do like Greta Lee.
Yes.
She's great in The Morning Show. Morning Wars.
Morning Wars, I think, but it's called The Morning Show over here, maybe? Or it's like
Well, the show on the show is called The Morning Show.
They've changed the title either in Australia or internationally.
Either way, she's good.
She's
That's what matters.
She's in Russian Doll as well, right? And I think she's pretty good in that. But she's wonderful in this, as is John McGarrow and TU. It's a beautiful directorial debut. It's been very well heralded for its cinematography and its sort of capturing of a New York that after, you know, 100-plus years of cinema, somehow there are sections of the skyline and neighborhoods that have been captured that haven't quite been seen from that vantage before. But also it's a story of like South Korean expats come to America. You know, it's got all those elements of love lost and sort of like a very particular tragedy to it that is kind of sort of unmapped territory, I guess I should say. It's a wonderful film. I really, really liked
it. Well, I might watch it. Great review.
Mate, thank you.
No, you know what?
And here's my review of you. Good bloke. Can we talk a little bit about who's nominated for director? Because one of those might be a movie we haven't talked about very much yet.
Nope, they're all in there. So,
but as in, we've kind of gone like, well, I know we've got Nolan for Oppenheimer, Scorsese for Killers of the Flower Moon, Justine Triet for Anatomy of a Fall. What else have we got there? Jonathan Glazer for Zone of Interest,
and Yorgos Lanthimos for Poor Things,
the one we really haven't talked about. Poor Things.
What could be controversial is Nolan winning Best Picture and not Best Director.
I think that does happen, but that this would be an insane year to be like, yeah, but the directing was a little weak.
It's the whole movie. It'll be an all or nothing thing when it comes to Nolan winning.
Yes.
If he wins, he's going to win both. If he doesn't, I mean, say Killers wins Best Picture, I think Nolan could still snag Director.
I think that's a really good point. I agree. I don't think it could go the other way around. I think if he wins Picture, he's winning Director. But if he doesn't win Picture, he might still get Director. I'd agree with that. That's true.
Because Oppenheimer, and sorry to go back on it, but is very technically impressive. It's a star-studded cast. Mm. It has a lot of hype and a lot of talk. It's long. It forces you to watch a lot of content. Yeah. So it's all there. Whereas Killers sort of had so much more, and I think that it to me seemed like more the obvious truth, and it was like emotionally more impactful. If someone said to you, would you prefer to see something that has real depth to it, or do you want to see a courtroom drama about a bomb? I'd be like, well, of course I'm gonna.
The way you framed that though, I do go like, I mean, what kind of bomb? Like, well, that's an interesting, a courtroom drama about a bomb is a good pitch.
Yeah,
like straight up, I mean, but I agree with you, and I do find that there is some emotionality and some really sort of affecting things in Oppenheimer, which I think is a really good movie. I agree. Like Killers of the Flower Moon is
gargantuan.
And I
think that Poor Things, for what it is worth, it probably is phenomenal, and I'm so looking forward to seeing it. Mm-hmm. I think it's just by default going to lose out to these two gigantic films.
Yeah.
Because it didn't have the traction and it didn't have the audience.
It's a bit too niche, I think.
And it's a shame because it sounds to me like it is a sleeper hit.
I don't think it's a shame because I think it's done. It's quite successful for what it is. It's such a weird film.
It has been.
You know what I mean? Like,
I'm a big Ruffalo fan, for the record. I'm more so looking forward to seeing
13
Ruffalo
going on 30.
Wow.
I mean, obviously that's everyone's go-to for Ruffalo. Yeah,
I think Ruffalo is a very talented actor that hasn't been given enough to do.
I love it, Ruffalo.
So I think Poor Things, it's good that it's getting the nominations and the I'm not even going to look at you.
No. Neither of you did. No. Marcus puckered his lips but was like, I refuse to look at Tom.
Now we're talking about it. It's good that it's getting the recognition and the nominations. It's not going to win, but it's also like, well, this is in the conversation, guys, so everyone should watch it. It's like a recommendation. Like, hey, this is a pretty great film. Get into it.
This might seem like a really trite and sort of, you know, maybe facile observation, but almost every acting category has a performance that in any other year you'd be like, that's a shoe-in. And it just happens to be a year where there is a powerhouse and there's a narrative behind them that's going to win it instead. So with actor, we've got Cillian Murphy. He's going to win. He's going to win for Oppenheimer.
Yep.
Paul Giamatti would win any other year. Any other year, this would be him.
Now, has he won before?
Never.
No. Which is a shame.
That's it.
That's
it would be a legacy thing, and it'd be like he's great in that movie, which he is.
So he's the Brendan Fraser of this pool.
Yes. Yep. And look,
hold on. Let's talk. But also Bradley Cooper, who's done some pretty exceptional work and will definitely win an Oscar at some point.
Look, yes. We're just
not saying
get
this yet. But also, and then Jeffrey Wright,
who's very, very loved and very respected within his field, but he's not going to win for that movie.
No, he's not going to win.
And we're just going to get some.
But he's an Oscar worthy actor.
He is, absolutely.
Colman Domingo
in maybe one of the worst movies I've seen this year. A terrible movie that he's okay in. Like, whatever. That movie is a turgid piece of shit, but it's very bad. But Cillian Murphy's going to win. In actress, it's like Lily Gladstone's going to win. Any other year, Emma Stone would take it. In supporting actor, Robert Downey Jr. is going to win. Any other year, it would be Mark Ruffalo's.
But you don't think Ryan Gosling's in the conversation?
I
don't think so.
I was so in on that back when Barbie came out, and I was like, oh my God, this is kind of his. But we did that back-to-back episode of Oppenheimer and Barbie. It was very weird being like, well, this is kind of Robert Downey Jr.'s Oscar moment, right? And then it's like, and probably Ryan Gosling gets nominated, but I don't think he wins for this. And Mark Ruffalo kind of came out of left field late last year where everyone's like, this is really something. Like,
it's about time for Ruffalo.
Yes.
Such a talented dude.
But it's about time for Downey Jr.
Like, between the heroin and the jail.
Yes. And Marvel. I mean, which is worse, honestly?
I'd fucking give him the Oscar for Iron Man 1.
Mm. I think because
Sam Rockwell
is because of the snub for that, I think.
For Iron Man?
Yeah. Like, it's definitely his turn.
See, this is where you can't tell if he's fucking with you or not.
And John Favreau needs the directing nod as well.
And now supporting actress, that's the only one I don't have this theory mapped out for. We've got Dave Vine. Can you give me some others who are nominated?
Supporting actress.
For supporting actress.
Annette Bening, Lily Gladstone.
Well, no, supporting.
Jodie
Foster's
okay,
in there.
Okay, so yeah. You got Divine Joy, Jodie Foster, America Ferrera, Danielle Brooks, and Emily Blunt?
Yeah,
I don't. So, get rid of her.
That's my thing. I think this would be her year in a weaker field because people want to give that movie an Oscar for the sole female like main role in it. Ugh. Obviously, they wouldn't give it to Florence Pugh.
That's a problem.
Sorry, Jodie Foster for what?
For Naiad. Which she's in with.
The swimming movie.
Okay, yeah,
By the way, just 10-second bit. Kind of a radically silly, stupid movie that's a lot of fun. A movie that
you're 60, you can't swim it now.
It's okay. Annette Bening is playing Ron Burgundy in that movie. She's decided my character will be Ron Burgundy and people will tell me I can't swim the distance I want to swim. And I'll be like, shut up. Yes, I can. And scream at them and then just keep doing it and almost swallow a jellyfish.
It's a big pool of emotion.
That's it. She fully, every time she's in a scene with someone who tells her she can't do it, she's like, but I wanna. Like, she's just so obnoxious. But
is Jodie just being Jodie?
Jodie Foster is kind of dressed like,
no, you can swim.
She's,
you know what? Yeah, know that'd be really, it. You'd I be just, pretty good.
Maybe you can get it.
I don't really believe you can do it, but maybe. I think you can.
I see how you go. I don't know if you can do it.
Why do we, none of us can
We're
do
doing
Jodie
Mrs.
Foster
Incredible for bad. Some reason.
I'm going to my panic room.
Until there's some Silence of the Lambs out here.
But do you think Annette Bening is in any other year could win sort of thing?
No, like, that performance is...
I think for she's American sad. Beauty, absolutely.
Oh,
I will sell this house.
She's very good in that. There's a moment in Naiad where she starts calling herself stupid and she's like, stupid, and it's fully a throwback to American
Beauty. Is it actually?
It's really
amazing.
Good.
I love that. Cool.
She's that performance is batshit in Naiad, but it's fun and I like that it's nominated. Jodie Foster's, she's just kind of there as like, yeah, you know, whatever. I'm like, you know, it's a lot of fun. That movie's weird. But yes, I think Davine Joy Randolph is just undeniable in the holdovers. She's good.
And
in
she's
that
been
film.
Cleaning up on the way.
And she's been really.
Can we talk about. Yeah, and you've on. Seen The New Color Purple.
I have.
Danielle Brooks.
Danielle Brooks is lovely in that movie. She's really good.
Wait, you've seen this?
I've seen everything above the line. I saw it all.
I'm irrationally upset that this movie got made.
It's
the musical. It's not the film. It's not the opera film. It's
fine.
Musical.
Also, it's Mean Girls the musical.
It's the same. It's like
what
it's.
The fuck?
It's there was
okay.
a movie.
No, but have you heard? I'm here.
I don't
Wait, is
care.
That, is it? I'm here.
Yes, it is. I'm here.
Listen, and I'm here. No,
but
I'm
just
there.
Keep,
I'm
like make.
No,
do,
no, no.
Do musical adaptations. That's fine. But don't then go. Now let's do the movie of the adaptation of the movie. Let's just swing it back and make another movie. Like stop.
Why not? Why wouldn't you?
Well, I mean, it's iPad. I mean, I get that the impulse behind it is always just like rapacious and upsetting.
Plastic.
Yes, it's you just keep going like, ah, it's still good. We washed it out in the sink, and it's like it's a condom. Like you're not meant to do that
It's a cash grab.
How did you get?
I'm just
there?
Trying to think of something you're not meant to use a second time, and for some reason, condom was the first thing that came to head. But either way, Color Purple musical is probably just about to me.
I hate it, but condom's the best analogy. Go
it
on.
Is, isn't it?
Yeah, go on.
It's just about as good as the original, the Steven Spielberg one. Like the Steven Spielberg one I like, but I think has problems. And the musical doesn't fix many of those problems and opens
Given
up
it's
some.
Been a while. It has been a while since I've watched it. But when I watched it, it was hard-hitting. It was impactful. I was impressionable.
It's scattered.
Imagine that with beautiful songs, though.
The songs.
Here's the thing. Sometimes
you're just a dorky musical theatre kid.
Sometimes you are talking to two dorky musical theatre kids and look in
sing.
The fucking mirror, Marcus.
Oh, my God. You were in Greece, Kanicki. Don't you think sometimes music can elevate a story?
That's not what we're talking about.
But it does in this movie. This movie,
for The Color Purple?
100%.
Yeah.
This movie would be pointless without the music. The music, which I found quite lovely. I thought it was really good. Danielle Brooks sings her song wonderfully. Fantasia does a really good job of I'm Here. You're wondering the whole movie if Fantasia's any good in the role of Neely, and then right at the end she does I'm Here. It's incredible.
Which is from Broadway, the Cynthia Erivo.
Yes.
Like,
I had no idea. I want to watch the Cynthia Erivo.
I just didn't want this to happen.
Cynthia Erivo, who's about to star in Wicked. So, yes. Like,
Halle Bailey.
Good for her.
Halle Bailey is the mermaid. In it, and she has one song, Keep It Moving, that's wonderful. You'll love it, Marcus. You'll probably hate it, but it's a pretty good movie. Yeah. Are there any random nominations in the actors that we're not going to talk about? Because Rustin sucks.
We need to circle back because we didn't answer the question about best director. I don't think we answered it.
Oh, I think I agree with you. Nolan's got it.
Yeah.
I mean, we talked about after watching Killers that Scorsese, this might be his swan song.
I think it probably is, but I think they're like, yeah, well, we gave it to him for The Departed, which was weird, but we don't want to take that back or act like we made a mistake. So I guess, and I love The Departed, but everyone's, you know, you could show a film class in 100 years. You could be like, all right, every week we're going to watch one of Scorsese's movies for 50 weeks. And then at the end be like, okay, which movie did he win Best Director for? And none of them would fucking get
it. This is a controversial thing, and I'd like to hear your thoughts on it. I think that Scorsese's not that great as a director.
That's truly the most infuriating fucking thing you've ever said in your life. But go on.
Couldn't agree more. Fuck that guy.
Because I think he's always relied on very talented actors to carry through. He might be big picture director. I don't think he's an actor's director. I think that Nolan sort of. No, you know what? I'm going to say Nolan's the same too.
I don't think of Nolan as an actor's director.
No, in fact, he's
almost never gotten nominations for actors.
It's true.
Heath Ledger.
I guess I'm just trying to justify why Nolan would get it over Scorsese
for the scope of it, I think.
And they want to give Nolan an Oscar. They're like, finally, he made a big, important adult movie.
And he's
Did he not get anything for Dark Knight?
No.
No.
That was only – it might have been nominated for visual effects as well.
Heath Ledger.
Nolan's only been nominated for director for Dunkirk. I think that's it.
Yeah, which is weird.
Oh, Interstellar? Maybe. I could be wrong, but certainly he was nominated for Dunkirk.
Wow, okay. Well, he's going to get it.
And that was the one where everyone this is probably it, right? Dunkirk's the one.
If you put it against Scorsese, who's already won, and Nolan, they're like, well, it has to be Nolan because he's the new guy who's making – not new guy, sorry, but Scorsese's legacy – Nolan is coming up and making interesting film.
Yes. And to branch out into just the other directors quickly, Yorgos Lanthimos is – Tenet's an interesting one. Yorgos Lanthimos is, I think, on an upward trend regardless if it's actually true, like it's perceived that way. Like he's the guy that they're like, we're going to give him one day. I mean, he just keeps coming back with these very – particularly idiosyncratic films. He's like Terry Gilliam, but like a celebrated Terry Gilliam by the Academy.
Yeah,
like
that's interesting because looking at the set design for that film,
it's pretty remarkable.
That's very Gilliam.
Some people hate it. Some people are like, oh, he's just doing the steampunk sort of Brazil thing. And it's like, man, I don't know. I think it's fucking great.
Yeah.
That movie, by the way, maybe is the funniest movie of last year. It's up there. Probably like top two or top three funniest. Poor Things is hysterically funny. I didn't love it as much as everyone. Like solid like 8.5. Like it's really, really good, but I look for an emotional connection, as you guys know. I warm.
You know, I don't want to throw back to season one so harshly, but you did love cats.
I had an emotional connection to it. That's why. But there's the...
Is it because you have a cat?
Yeah, yes.
And you're imagining him singing to you?
Yes.
Shout out to Jonathan.
Shout out to Jonathan. Thanks for listening, buddy.
He's not listening.
He gave up back after that episode. Even he fucking hated that movie.
Yorgos Lanthimos, the butthole cat.
Yes.
Of poor things.
Yorgos Lanthimos. Yorgos Lanthimos
Sorry,
is going...
Sorry, all I picture is Thomas like filming Jonathan's butt.
But I was sending it in to Tom.
Release this. Release
Imagine what
butt.
This could be.
Oh, I feel sick.
Just put this on James Corden. Yorgos Lanthimos, they assume they're going to be able to give it to him. Justine Triet is sort of the outlier. Like, it's great that she's nominated, and it's a really well-directed film, and it's very tightly done, but also very, you know, I think has a lot of harmony, the style with the story, Anatomy of a Fall, and it's a really fantastic nomination. I think Jonathan Glazer, I saw The Zone of Interest 3 hours ago. Like, it's the last one I had to watch from these movies. And that movie is... Can I very quickly go on a Jonathan Glazer tear? Because his career is fucking insane. Mm.
Go on.
Please, stop the tear you're on and start a new one.
Jonathan Glazer.
Go.
Jonathan Glazer directed Sexy Beast. You remember Sexy Beast?
Oh, yeah. Ben Kingsley.
Ben Kingsley and Ray Winston. The one where Ben Kingsley's like, hey, you fucking... What the fuck are you doing? You fucking... Blah, blah. And it's like, whoa.
Oh, cats.
Cats. My bad.
No, I haven't seen this film.
He does that. Then he does Birth, the movie about Nicole Kidman's husband dying, and then she meets a 10-year-old, and she's convinced that that 10-year-old is the reincarnation of her husband and has a bath with the child. That's his second movie. His third movie is Under the Skin, the movie with Scarlett Johansson.
Closed
where she's
set, right?
Closed set. The most.
Oh, dear.
Guys, I have an iPhone, and it's two of us.
He also did a lot of Massive Attack videos.
He's done
a
lot of music videos. He did Under the Skin with Scarlett Johansson in 2013, where she plays sort of like an alien who seduces men and then takes their skin. And then he's made Zone of Interest, which is an art house Holocaust movie. Those are his four movies in 20 years. The man is quietly one of the most unique and sort of fucking thrilling directors.
Must be a weird dude.
He's a weird fucking guy. Zone of Interest is astounding, really like kind of breathtaking, great cinema, but very quietly in that sense. And I think it's a really cool nomination. I think people should get along to it. It's going to win Best International Feature, because if you're an international feature nominated for Best Picture, you by default win Best Foreign Film. So it's
you don't think it'll be Society of the Snow?
Society of the Snow will make a pull for it because it was everyone's – I know I said in our previous episode about Saltburn, everyone calling me. No one fucking shut up about that movie for 3 weeks. Everyone I knew called me and was like, you've seen Society of the Snow, right? I haven't actually seen it.
I'm not going to lie. I've never heard of this.
Society of the Snow is the Netflix movie about the – go, Frank. Go, 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 go.
No. It's fine, Tom. It's fine.
It's all right. It's your baby.
No, you go, baby.
It's not
Come
my
on,
baby.
Frank, no, you go,
Frank.
No, you go,
it's
Frank.
Just about – I don't actually know. What.
I was so hoping he'd say that.
I can't remember.
It's the soccer team.
The country of origin. It's the rugby team.
Argentina, maybe?
Oh, Tom, let him finish.
It's about a rugby team that are flying across – oh, my God. Mountains.
The Alps, maybe? I don't know that much about it.
This was worth
it. It's a true story about a sports team that crashes on a plane somewhere in the mountains in Iceland, and they have to survive.
They survive for 70-odd days in the snow.
It's like that caving movie, but it's on a mountain in the snow.
That caving movie?
Yeah. The soccer team. That
Vertical Limit?
Is that Survive?
No, you're thinking of Alive with Ethan Hawke. That's the same story.
Yes. It's been remade with actual...
No, wait. I don't think I'm talking about that. I'm talking about the recent, the two films they made about the soccer team trapped in the cave.
You're talking about the Thai,
young boys.
Yes, they made that movie that doesn't exist, directed by Ron Howard, that came out and everyone was just like, yeah, we'll pretend this movie doesn't exist. Apparently it's okay.
The movie's not great.
Colin Wait, was Farrell's that the Vigo? Oh, yeah, no, that's actually not
the
terrible.
The documentary?
There's a documentary and there's
the one with Vigo and Colin.
Yes.
Vigo.
I want to ask two more things because I know we're just kind of like now just throwing pizza at the wall
the
and
Andes,
seeing what sticks.
In the Andes.
If there was
mountains,
any structure to our conversation right now, I'd know where we were, but go.
Are there any other actors you can see, Frank, across actor, actress, supporting actor, supporting actress, in anything we haven't talked about? I feel like there's not. I think we've basically touched on all the movies.
We've covered all of them thus far.
So the only thing we haven't really talked about that's still above the line is May December in Best Original Screenplay.
Yeah.
Have you guys heard much about May December?
No. Yes. Julianne Moore.
Yeah. Tell me what you know about it.
Julianne Moore is in it. And it's gonna be really good.
She's on a plane somewhere.
She's in the Andes.
And
she eats her teammates. Hey, they're not cannibals. Hey. They aren't, though. We spoke about this.
She plays a woman who is married.
That must be difficult.
Come on
Go
now.
On.
Yeah, who's well, married to Charles.
Let him finish.
God.
Who's married to Charles.
So she's a bear in this one. Go on. Yep. I'm sorry.
You should be. It's offensive.
She plays a woman who's married to Charles Melton. And it turns out that they got together when he was 13 and she was 36. Or 33, 36. Mm-hmm. And it's the story of now they're older. She's in her 50s. He's in his, like, 30s.
Mm.
And Natalie Portman is going to play her in a movie about her. So Natalie Portman comes to stay with the family and learn about Julianne Moore so she can study her for the performance.
Mm.
Deliciously good movie. Really fun. Really lot. Really, like, people talk about it being camp. It is, I suppose, the score. Certainly the score is incredibly melodramatic for moments that are very silly. But it is actually very sad and very sinister. Natalie Portman is incredible in it. Julianne Moore's...
Surprised she's not nominated.
That was the big
is
one.
Is a lot of the talk.
If we want to talk, that was what I was going to get into as well, snubs. And my big ones, I'm like, all three of them, people were like, oh, Julianne Moore for actress... Natalie Portman for actress, Julianne Moore for supporting, and Charles Melton for supporting actor. Like, that everyone was thinking this was going to happen. And none of them did. And it was quite shocking. Like, I'd say those were some of the biggest ones. Another big one that comes to mind, Leo for Killers of the Flower Moon. People were pretty surprised that one didn't pan out. I think he's incredible in that movie, but, you know, I understand people are kind of doing the like, whatever, it's Leo. You know, we either nominate him or he doesn't. He doesn't seem to care, right? It's not going to really change.
He doesn't care about anything.
No, I suppose not. He's like a nihilist.
I'm sort of off.
We care about nothing. We Leonardo DiCaprio, we're nihilists.
Where's the money, Lebowski?
Where's the fucking money, Leonardo?
He's like, I gave it to the environment.
I threw it into a river.
Yeah, that'll save the river.
Because I care about global warming. Global warming's a big issue. People should care about it. But
they should. That's why Leo is leading the charge. Thank you, Leo.
Robert De Niro getting the nomination for Killers. What do you think about that, Marcus?
Man, do you know what I hate is when Scorsese just uses De Niro all the time in these, like, supporting small roles.
He's just throwing him in there
roles.
In bits, like, just busting him out.
God, like, it's like, know. Get a different friend,
he's
man.
A shit director as well, is my biggest
so
hot take.
So shit worse. And anyway, De Niro's a bad saying, actor.
I love Scorsese, so fuck you.
I fucking hope so.
Okay.
Robert De Niro.
Why?
No, what's I think Robert De Niro is not deserving of that. I think he did the job.
I think he's really good. I think
De Niro deserves an Oscar at some point.
In the past?
I am curious,
you know, like,
as to why
he's a good actor, I mean.
Leo didn't get a nod for the work he put into this one, which is surprising to me, but hey.
Yeah, it was kind of
weird.
Yeah,
he went to makeup.
If someone came to me and said...
And then learnt the lines, kind of. Yeah, he really worked hard.
Oh, God, we're at this point.
I know. You know what?
It's the sass where Frank's like, why didn't I get that role? I could have done that. Makeup and lines.
I could have played the Flower Moon. I'll kill her.
Kill her. I hardly know her. All right.
Mooner. I barely moon her.
Oh, wait. Dear. Okay. I wanted to ask you guys, and it's okay if you're going to be like, nope. No idea, not prepared, whatever. But I wanted to ask if you guys had any movies you've seen in the last year where you're like, even if it's like the Oscars would never nominate that, who would you give an award to or a nomination to? Anyone who has, we might have mentioned it, it might be a movie we've already talked about, or just anything that comes to mind. And I could start if you guys want.
But it has to be from that year.
So Will Smith in Men in Black.
I don't know if you guys heard Godfather. Marlon Brando is pretty good in that. Like,
yeah, De Niro actually, Godfather 2.
Yeah.
Maybe he could
should
win
have
one
won an Oscar
day,
for that.
One day.
My go-to movie, which is my favorite movie of last year, is The Killer, directed by David Fincher.
Fassbender,
I would give Best Actor nomination.
Fassborder. Boring.
Boring.
I don't know.
I would
there's
give
something there.
Fincher Best Director nomination. I would give Tilda Swinton Best Supporting Actress, Best Adapted Screenplay, Best Cinematography. I think it's a fantastic. I don't know if I'd give it all of those awards, but I would nominate it for all this. Probably would give it a Best Director, Best Picture. It's an incredible film.
I spoke to you about The Killer, and I enjoyed it to an extent. I think there's some solid duologues in there. Mm-hmm. There's some good scenes between two very strong actors. And there's a great action sequence at one point. Very good action sequence. But around that, I found the concept and the story to be very underplayed and a bit bland.
Super bare bones, super Spartan.
Yeah.
Right? It's just kind of like,
I wanted more. Like when you sell a concept to me of like Fassbender as a methodical hitman, I'm like, fuck yes, what do we got? And then the opening was just a drag.
Wasn't this like, oh, you didn't enjoy
no,
that?
Wasn't like Snowpiercer? Snowpiercer was
Bong Joon-ho. And
who am I?
Chris Evans. Are you trying to think of Michael Fassbender?
Yeah, what's the one he does in the snow?
Oh, you're thinking of the Snowman.
The Snowman.
It is called The Snowman. And he plays, do you know the name of his character? Detective Harry Hole. And he investigates murders done by the Snowman.
So this is a joke movie, right?
It was a movie by Thomas Alfredson that didn't get finished. It was one of those movies, those weird ones where it's like they had 10 days left of shooting and they just pulled the plug and said, whatever you've got, put it together. And they were like, but we don't got it. And they're like, too fucking bad.
We don't
and
got
in this
it.
Day and age, as we know, as with what's going on with Coyote versus Acme and fucking...
fix it in post or...
No, they scrap it. They just go like they did with...
It's a tax write-off.
They just go, fuck it. We don't care. Scrap it. No one gets to see it again. Yeah. And they would have done that if they thought that would have been a viable thing with The Snowman. I've not
Because they
seen
don't want to auction it off or let anyone sell it
no,
or buy it.
No, just like, no one should see this.
Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy. Michael Fassbender is very good for me anyway in The Killer. Marcus, I see you're looking through if there's anything that stands out to you.
Honestly, like I did actually watch more films in 2023 than I thought I had.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing. It was a pretty bland year other than what's obviously been brought up for the Oscars. Outside of that, like I can't find a real contender for anything that I found overly interesting. Like,
surprised Saltburn's not actually in the list at all.
We didn't bring that up in the episode, but it was being bandied around. And right before I saw it, I was like, okay, I guess this could be an Oscars contender. Afterwards, I was like, that movie's not getting anywhere near the Oscars. That's just not going to. And people are like, I don't know, Rosamund Pike is going to get. No, she's
no.
fucking not.
No,
what
she...
an insane claim.
Huh.
People really thought she
Emily
was going to get
Emily Blunt
nominated.
Got nominated. She didn't do anything in that film.
I don't disagree.
She's
I
like,
still think
look
Emily...
at me, I'm drunk. Watch out, I've got a drink.
But I don't push the button on this nuclear bomb. It's like,
don't let my wife near it. She'll press the button.
She's drunk all the time. We had to give our baby away.
Ari Aster did Beau Is Afraid. I don't think
I haven't seen it.
Yeah, neither have I. And
I don't have access to any mushrooms, so I can't. That's what Joaquin advises.
Yeah,
go on mushrooms.
Napoleon,
says take mushrooms.
Napoleon,
and watch it.
I'm yet to see as well. Apparently,
Napoleon's been nominated for visual effects, as it should be, because the Battle of Austerlitz in that movie is incredible. I wouldn't nominate any of the performances, although Vanessa Kirby's very good. Joaquin Phoenix is a weird choice. I'll check out a couple more. Bottoms, for anyone who's seen it.
Bottoms.
Rachel, yes, I'm aware. Well, Frank, you got to love yourself. Rachel Sennett and Iowa Debris are in that together, and Iowa Debris I would nominate for Best Actress. She's hysterically funny. It's a great comedic performance. I saw Godzilla Minus One this year, one of the best movies I saw.
Visual effects.
100%. It's been nominated for visual effects.
It'll win.
That is actually the most exciting thing about the Oscars for me. That movie getting in, I was like fist pumping. I was so glad I got nominated for visual effects.
Apparently it's a really emotionally compelling story.
I wept.
I know you did, but you weep at most things.
Like milk commercials.
So, yeah, you saying weeping is like, that's fine.
Tom watched it.
That's what happens.
I want to throw out a big curveball real quick. Marcus, you got one.
Well, no, there's two that surprised me. I mean, Asteroid City sort of...
That's such a good point. Asteroid City not getting fucking anything is insane.
Very interesting.
But also kind of predictable. No, it's kind of predictable because they don't like him since Grand Budapest. It's like Grand Budapest happened and then they were like, we don't actually like you, but I guess we'll give you this nomination. And then,
yeah, they had to because like, oh, you do what you do and that's fine. But no one, I mean, what? Do you like it?
Asteroid City?
Just Wes.
I do. I like Wes Anderson.
I like Wes. I didn't... love, I guess it's lower on the end of the spectrum for me for his films.
Yeah.
Always tried so hard to like Wes. I just find it really...
You've got to be in the mood. You really do.
What mood?
I think Tom... feel like...
Ready to be bored?
I'm in the middle here. I think Tom's always in the mood. I think
mostly.
That, yeah.
I don't love Grand Budapest. That's the one where I'm like, everyone says that's the
this
one.
If you,
I don't think it's his worst, but I just kind of watch it and go, oh, this is pretty good. French Connection's one of my favorite films. And then I think Asteroid City's really, really, really good. And the performances in that are great. Jason Schwartzman, Margot Robbie in like a 3-minute scene kills it in that movie. Scarlett Johansson's very good.
It's interesting they don't really take horrors into consideration, like serious consideration.
What are you thinking about?
Talk to Me was so talked about.
And sadly, it's a 2022 movie, technically.
Oh, is it?
I know, because otherwise I would have put Sophie Wilde up. She's really good in that movie.
The hype behind that film was true. Like, there was a real hype.
It's a good
movie. I watched it being a horror fan, and it didn't land.
That's right. I remember we've had this. It didn't work for you as well.
It was fine. I liked it. It was very cool. And I think, though, that I was more impressed by the fact that it was just a bunch of Adelaide kids, and it was like it felt just like a homegrown movie at high quality. And it was like, you know what, guys? Fucking good for you. Like, that's sick.
Yeah.
Great job. But it didn't. I found Hereditary to be far more impactful.
Yeah. And you can draw the line there from Ari Aster to these guys, the Filippo brothers, I think they're called, and like, how that influenced. But just what you said about the Adelaide, the fact that you could go watch.
Didn't they just win the actor?
They may have.
Did they?
Good for them.
The actor tends to go like, whatever, this movie came out in like late 2022 in Adelaide. You guys screened it there, but you know, you can have it for last year. But what Marcus just said about it showing Adelaide, the fact that there's a movie that has done international big numbers, A24, and I get to picture people in the United States or in Europe or anywhere in the world watching this movie where two kids sit on a curb and like pass a durry back and forth and they're like 13 and 12. And I'm like, this is the most Australian shit I've ever seen in my life. And now the world gets to see it. It's so good.
Gets to. Has to. Like it's...
Yeah, it's kind of great in that respect.
Yeah. My other curveball is the first great movie I saw last year that I cherished a lot and I really enjoyed was Knock at the Cabin, which is the M. Night Shyamalan movie.
Oh, man. Do you want to talk about this?
I want to say real quick, if I were just doing my Tom choices, Dave Bautista's probably nominated for me. I think he's incredible in that movie.
Frank, have you seen this film?
No.
Knock at the Cabin.
Are you going to watch
this? No, it'll make him pee-pee his pants.
Pee-pee, so I watched the trailer.
He'll pee-pee the world.
But it won't.
I'm wearing three pairs of pants and I pee-peed all of them.
This film made me so angry.
You hated that movie.
Hated it so much.
It's so funny how we've brought up five movies in the last 10 minutes that we both either kind of or deeply disagree on.
This was followed by, I just watched Old, the other M. Night one previous to this.
I don't love Old. Olds.
Old followed by Knock at the Cabin, thinking, God, it's got to be better than Old, right? And I was like, you know what? I don't even know if that was better or worse or what the fuck that was.
Old is
bad. I had a bad time. And if you just want a quick synopsis, Knock at the Cabin.
Please do.
Yeah, isn't it? But no, I know this is about someone comes to the cabin, they knock on the door, and then they have to say, hey, Jonathan Groff, kill your kid or the world dies.
Yes.
Very close.
And Jonathan Groff's very good in it, but his partner is better.
Yes.
I think he's very good.
Who's his partner?
I can't remember. He was in Fleabag.
It's terrible.
His first name is Ben. It might be Ben.
He's the best thing in it.
He's really good.
Yep.
The scene at the end where he's like,
it's so good. Which is good because he's the only rational mind that we're dealing with in this entire film.
It's the hardest role where he has to be like, he has to keep telling the movie, this is bullshit.
And
the
movie's like, Ben Aldridge.
The movie keeps being like, dude, this is happening. And he's like, fuck you, it's not happening. No. And the scene at the end where Jonathan Groff's like, you have to do it. You know, everyone else will die. And he holds him and screams, they're not worth it. And I weep.
Oh,
that movie
God.
Is incredibly
good. I feel like I need to watch it now.
It's really good.
I have a
it's
son.
It's really good.
And I would just.
I think all right, truly might impact
if you truly will watch it, Frank.
Finally,
I
might feel something.
Stop the conversation here. Because I honestly can't tell
it's
you
not,
anything else.
It's not a scary movie.
I'm already scared.
Astounding movie.
It's a. This is. Okay. M. Night, and I don't know if I've already had this conversation
this
with you,
Tom. This is an episode about the Oscars.
No. I know it is. I'm sorry.
No, please keep going.
I just have to.
Please keep going.
I have to. M. Night. He's getting progressively worse as he gets on, right?
Yes.
He peaked at, I'm going to say, The Village, and that's a stretch.
It's a good movie.
Signs.
Was before The Village, so thank you.
As in he peaked at Signs.
Oh, okay, fair.
I think that's better than The Village.
Yeah, I agree. That's what I'm saying. Like, I think The Village is where it started to drop. But
yeah,
gotcha.
That's
the passable
turning
Sorry.
Point.
I think that he just sits down at the laptop and goes,
What's weird?
Would you rather? And then writes a film about that.
Yeah, that makes sense. Do you want to go to the beach and like get old and
yeah,
cure? Yeah. Was it?
That's right.
Did you guys?
You could cure all your diseases in one day,
but yo,
did you guys hear the meme about old? The tagline, and the plot synopsis came out before the movie did, and everyone's like, "It's about a beach that makes you old." And someone replied, "Every beach makes you old." It's like, that's true, I guess.
It's true. But I forgot to mention, makes you old
quicker.
Fast.
But it's like everywhere you go makes you old, yeah. I suppose.
Every second,
yes.
Ticking by, you're getting older.
It's so true.
On that, this podcast is you
making
know,
you. You guys have aged years listening to this.
My spine hurts.
Anyway, I love Paul Giamatti. Good for him.
Yeah,
I've always loved him.
I guess that would be it. Do we say what our
we didn't make
I'm
any,
out of the bet I'm so, opting out right now. I'll tell you why I'm opting out, because we are all going to come up with the same shit. I think it's an unfair bet. I'm out.
All right,
you two can do gonna, it and I would love to sit and watch
no,
it.
No, let's pick one category and we all pick one that's maybe
go
cinematography. Will we all pick something different?
I would Saltburn. Say Oppenheimer.
Yeah, fuck. No,
cinematography has to be Saltburn. Oh god. Stumbled on my own joke. Oppenheimer.
It'll probably be Oppenheimer.
So that's not a good category. Nope. So that's not a good category to bet on.
I guess you could go to
documentary, feature film. We'll just pick one.
What are they?
Okay,
this is a bad idea because
no.
I'll win, and I don't want to take your money that way. And whoa. I don't. And I also think like betting.
Four Daughters.
Okay, if you want to, it's 20 Days of Mary Poll. It's gonna win.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah, well.
No, that's my bet. Film editing. What's a random? Let's just pick a category.
Oppenheimer. It's going to win.
Oh, God. International, we know his zone of interest. Music. Original score. Original score.
Oppenheimer.
No.
It's Ludwig.
Color Purple.
Win. Boring.
No. I haven't even watched it.
Indiana Jones, The Dial of Destiny. It's
Indiana Jones is nominated.
Yeah, it's John Williams.
John Williams. You know how old he is?
150,000.
Like,
I tell you
he's
what,
the oldest.
He finally needs to win an Oscar.
Like, they were like, he's the oldest man ever nominated for an Oscar. I'm like, he's the oldest man alive. You don't need to add
finish the
nominated
sentence.
For an Oscar.
Frank, did we watch that together?
Indiana Jones. We had a wonderful time.
And
Tom
was,
wasn't there.
Yeah,
that's got to be the only one on this list I haven't seen that you guys have.
You missed out.
I've heard it's
really it's as good
bad.
As the second one.
It was all right. The CGI was very jarring at the start, but
God, wasn't it?
Yeah, but okay. it improved.
I'll agree with Marcus. I'll back out from the bet because I think it's turned into too much of a cluster for this to matter.
Okay, I'll bet.
You bet.
He just loves to bet.
Best original screenplay. It's going to.
He's just doing this against himself. Yeah. You owe me money, Frank. Oh no, Frank.
I'm just trying to get money.
Just one pocket to the next.
Cost of living, guys. Cost of living's really going up. I'll give myself $50 later.
Do we have anything else we want to say about the Oscars this year apart from
who's hosting? Jimmy Kimmel. I loved his intro.
No, they need to wait. Is he actually?
Yeah.
Yeah, Mr. Kimmel.
He did a good intro. Intro promo.
I
what's
want
it
him
called?
To do Mulaney. I think he.
Mulaney did the governor's ball, and he, like, it's weird that they're just, it's a tease at this point. Like, obviously he should host.
He really
he
should.
So
do you think
good.
He's too sassy? Do you think he's too, like,
they need
no,
it.
No, it's, now.
It's Ricky Gervais, right?
For the Globes.
Was the entertainment factor we needed. It was just way too aggressive.
Yeah.
That, I agree with that. I think Ricky Gervais.
I think too aggressive. I thought great. But,
no, it was beautiful. I agree with everything
but, like,
you said.
You need
do you know what I mean?
I think Ricky's bit got old after like the fifth time. I think by that point it's like.
I think keep driving it home. I think he had a point.
Because the one that really nailed it for me is when he like was up there talking and doing a 10, 12 minute monologue, some of which was funny, some of which I thought was patchy. And he gets to the end and goes, "And when you win your award, no one wants to hear your fucking speech. No one wants to hear you up here talking on and on and on and on, all right? No one wants that. So just shut the fuck up and sit." And I'm like, this is the least self-aware thing I've ever seen in my life. This man grandstanding with a microphone going, "You should all be shutting the fuck up and no one wants to hear from you."
I agree. I see the hypocrisy
in
that.
I do find
maybe
is.
He knows.
But I'm like, they're too clever by half because it's like, you know, that's.
Two times half.
Go on.
Times half.
He'll be on that all day, Marcus. Let's get.
Oh gosh.
John Mulaney would be fun because he's more. I think he's more liked, but he also I think
he's
can
funny.
Carry those. Well, he had the one great line at the thing where he's like, Angela Bassett got nominated for a Marvel movie.
And then
that's like getting nominated for a Pulitzer for a Reddit comment. And it's like cuts to Robert Downey Jr. Yeah, like laughing his ass off.
Yeah,
and
I wish I could join in with that story.
That's a good bit. Well, you were trying to interrupt.
A wild swing at who should host.
Billy Crystal.
I would love Billy Crystal. A wild swing at who should host would be Pedro Pascal. I think that...
I like that.
No!
Because it doesn't have to be a comedy set the entire time. I think that he's so endearing and charming.
Hugh Jackman. Bring him back.
What? He was good.
No,
Hugh Jackman's opening is one of the best openings ever.
Yeah, because Ben Schwartz wrote it.
And Dan Harmon.
That's what I said.
They won Emmys for it. Isn't that weird? You can win an Emmy for writing the Oscars. What kind of circle jerk is that?
The reader. I didn't see the reader.
Yeah, it's a great intro.
When he does at the end and he's saying everything he is, and he's just like, I'm Wolverine. Like, it's good.
It's a magical opening. Yeah. I agree. It doesn't have to be a comedian. That would be good just to have a charismatic person.
Just someone who just everyone looks
like. Someone
up
writes
and goes,
a few good jokes.
Thank you, Pedro.
A few good men. You can't handle the truth. And they just move into the awards. And also, you know what would be great? Give the presenters like 2 days of rehearsal where they come out and practice their shitty banter.
You know what? Tell Mel Gibson he's hosting 2 minutes before and just put him on stage.
You're good off the cuff right now.
Oh, my God. And then get like Jack Nicholson to run out and do a bit with him.
What year is it? What is happening? Timothy Chalamet should host. He's a good wet towel.
Yeah, great personality.
He's very good in Wonka. I quite liked it.
He sucks in everything.
That's a weird take.
He sucks in everything.
Okay. I think Let me just finish my point about Frank, this has gone on long enough, all right? You're railroading. We need to wrap it up, okay?
I would play the Oscar music, but...
Na, 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 na. Famous Oscars music by, I'm checking here, man who is 7,000 years old.
Na, 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 na.
Imagine every score just done by that guy.
Oh, dun, dun. Shit. That's a good time.
All right. That was fun. I don't know if we really established anything.
Oppenheimer's going to win most.
Can you guys tell we've had a while off before doing these episodes?
I tried to rehearse and get some ideas in concrete before we started, but you guys said, we'll be right.
Yeah, guys, can you turn up wearing your blacks, please, so we're ready?
I'm going to have another chip.
It's a good Frank impression. Thank you for listening to Story in the Power. My name is Frank.
No, that's right. I was happy to listen, pal.
So this was our Oscar special. It's happening.
We love listening, Frank.
I'm Marcus.
We're here for you, and I'm Tom.
I appreciate you guys being Marcus and Tom, and I appreciate you guys listening.
It's been wonderful being back. Thank you so much. We love you all.
Kisses.
Happy Oscars. Story in the Power.